Good morning. From the newsroom of the Financial Times, today is Friday, October 19th, and this is your FT News Briefing.
Today, we'll be looking at some tougher talk from the U.S. on Saudi Arabia, Uber's move from drivers to waiters, and why Wall Street traded lower on Thursday. I'm Eric Krupke.
And I'm Amy Keene, and here's the news you need to start your day.
The Trump administration has finally taken a harder line against Saudi Arabia. Vice President Mike Pence spoke to reporters on Thursday.
If what has been alleged occurred, if a journalist in particular lost their life at the hands of violence, that's an affront to a free and independent press around the world, and there will be consequences.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin's pulled out of Saudi Arabia's Future Investment Initiative conference. President Donald Trump also said that if the kingdom had a hand in Khashoggi's death, there would be consequences.
Well, it'll have to be very severe. I mean, it's bad stuff, but we'll see what happens.
Until now, Trump has defended the Saudi royal family. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said he wants to give the kingdom more time to finish their investigation into the possible murder.
And the FT reports that Uber's planning to expand its on-demand model. The ride-hailing app is developing a new short-term staffing business called Uber Works. Basically, Uber will compile a large database of contractors to provide a temporary workforce for events and corporate functions. Companies can hire for positions like waiters or security guards.
It's a move that will help diversify the business before next year's planned initial public offering. That could help persuade potential investors that Uber is more than just a transportation service. Uber hasn't announced when the business would launch, but it looks like it has already started recruiting.
Hi, I'm Robin Wigglesworth, the US Markets Editor at the Financial Times, and here's your stock market update for the day. The US stock market actually had a pretty poor Thursday. It started on the back foot and kept sliding throughout the day. And there wasn't really a clear trigger for this reversal, which sent the S&P down by 1.44% by the end of the trading day. People attributed it to everything from Steven Mnuchin said that he wouldn't be going to Saudi Arabia for the Saudi conference there. But it was a general sense of risk aversion that hit Wall Street on Thursday. The one thing investors are looking for now are good corporate earnings. We are in the middle of the quarterly earnings season for US companies, and that has been a big driver of the stock market when it hit a new high earlier this summer. And if earnings come good again, then that might help the stock market regain its footing. However, if earnings disappoint, then that will really light a fire under these nerves that we're seeing in markets this autumn.
And in after-hours trading in New York on Thursday, AIG shares dropped more than 3% as the insurer warned investors about its third-quarter results. The company said that it expected to report pre-tax losses from recent natural disasters of as much as $1.7 billion.
These disasters include Hurricane Florence in the U.S., typhoons in Japan, and mudslides in California. Chief Executive Brian Duperreault has been under pressure to turn the insurer around after years of underperformance, since it received a $185 billion bailout from the U.S. government during the crisis.
And here's something you might want to know more about.
Yesterday, EU leaders wrapped up their summit in Brussels, and there were two big points of contention. Italy was chastised for its budget, which has deficits well above EU mandates, and there wasn't as much movement on Brexit as some had hoped. The Brexit summit next month has been canceled. EU negotiators want to hold out for Prime Minister Theresa May to make a more decisive move in the talks, and according to some officials, that could still take weeks or months. The FT's Brussels bureau chief, Alex Barker, and our EU correspondent, Marine Khan, have been following the story from outside the summit in Brussels.
It feels like, at least on Brexit, we've come away from this summit at least not having rocked the boat or made a mistake. Things have gone to plan, but not much has changed. Theresa May came to explain in part why Brexit talks had reached a standstill, particularly over the Northern Irish border. There were no changes in the UK position that some EU leaders were expecting, but we've had relatively conciliatory signals coming from the EU side, as well as a degree of urgency and concern about the kind of pause we're seeing in negotiations.
Exactly, and I think she had some warm words from her counterparts who seemed very sympathetic to her plight, who I think could probably put themselves in her shoes and realise the sort of sticky wicket that she's on. I think Mark Rutte said that she's a tenacious political pro, a bit like he is. So yeah, we've avoided the mistake.
And you can't end a summit like this with a bit of passing of Angela Merkel's words, and particularly on Brexit. It sounds like, from diplomats we were speaking to, that her intervention at the dinner on Wednesday night was probably the most interesting and not unusual, but in the fact that she started talking about the Irish backstop in a way that raised questions about the EU and the UK's approach, whether this was potentially heading to a place where a solution wasn't possible, and asking, actually, we should remember that if there is no solution, we're not going to have any backstop, no safety net for the Irish border to make sure that it remains open between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic.
Yeah, I think as one diplomat mentioned, that Angela Merkel moves in mysterious ways and she sees things in her very scientific, almost chemist-like lens, which isn't always interpreted or shared by her other leaders. And I think most of these summits, a lot of the time, end up being about Merkel for various reasons, her domestic politics, whether she's still a strong leader, her relationship with Macron. But this one seems to be quite a unilateral, putting a head above the parapet and telling both sides that we should try and get this done.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com.
This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back next week for all the latest business news.
The FT News Briefing is produced by Eric Krupke, Fiona Simon, and me, Amy Keene. Our editor is Amelia Mahasek, and Robert Shrimsley is the editorial director for the Financial Times.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Transitioning to a decarbonized economy sounds like just one change. In fact, this shift requires several transitions across sectors, geographies, and timelines. In Talking Transitions, a new podcast brought to you by the EY organization and Foresight Climate and Energy, we look at how the transition is affecting three key areas: energy, financial services, and government. The Talking Transitions podcast is out now. Download today from wherever you get your podcasts, or visit talkingtransitions.com to find out more.